It is a true kavod to introduce someone who needs no introduction to this audience, Rabbi Yaakov Hapfer. Let me only say, on behalf of all of those who were involved in putting this evening together, that we owe a deep debt of gratitude to Rabbi Hapfer for his consistent, enthusiastic, and wholehearted support of this evening's program.
If I may, I'd like to ask you, Mechila, at the outset, just to start on a very personal note. Many of you know I hadn't been well, and the Rebbeinu Shloimeh spared my life. And I know that there are many in this community, I'm looking at you, who davened on my behalf, and many heartwarming tefillos to the Rebbeinu Shloimeh. And I know it was very, very meaningful to him, and very, very meaningful to me, and I just would like to thank you. I don't know how more to say. Thank you. Just first would like to start by thanking Ohel, Mr. Mandel, for coming here, for sponsoring this event tonight. I remember when it started, and it was a small little organization that wanted to do good and wanted to help its people. And it's today a very, very large organization. And I think all of us know when you have these large organizations, many, many times they're just self-preserving. And they really don't serve much of a purpose except supporting the organization itself, the institution itself. This chevra, this institution, is one with a heart. With a big heart. A big heart today as it was when it started. It has a heart and it has challenged people. It has inspired people. It has done this to other communities as well. And it has charged and challenged and energized Rabbanim as well. Not just publicly, but mostly behind the scenes. And we owe a great sense of gratitude to all of you. The thought itself of having an asifa gathering about this topic, about sexual abuse for children, is by itself something that causes a lot of pain. What we're sort of saying and admitting is that we have abusers, that there are abusers in our community. Otherwise, there's no purpose and there's no sense in calling this meeting. And it's true. It's true. Does it mean that there's something wrong with our community? We all know none of us are perfect. The Rebbeinu Shloimeh created us with chesronos. He wanted it that way. Communities have problem as well. I just want to say at the outset that we have a healthy community. We have a healthy community. We have a wonderful community. We have a community that overall is a community that wants to be elevated, wants to be inspired, that wants to grow. And I think that we bring a great nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shloimeh. It doesn't mean that there aren't individuals that are troubled, that do things that cause a lot of damage and pain. They might not even know it or don't care, but there are such people, and those are things that we have to know and we have to admit. If our function and our job is to protect our children, then we can't be blinded. Can't refuse to recognize that there are such things and they exist in our community. I would like to be very frank and honest that this asifa, this gathering, it's not simple. It's not pushed. It's sort of fraught with danger. And I just would like to explain that for a minute. We want to protect, and we would like to talk a little about that. But at the same time, we do not want to alarm. We don't want to cause anxiety. We don't want to cause more tension and stress in your lives than there is already. We want you to be able to go to sleep at night and function during the day, not full of tension, not full of worry. Are my children okay? Are my children being protected? Overall, and in a great way, I say again, this is a healthy community. It's secure and it's stable, and you can know that your children, if you are mechanech them properly, you guide them properly, overall are going to be healthy children. And it's not something that you have to worry about, constantly worry about. However, just as I'm sure you've taught your children and you've told your children that when they're at a bus stop and somebody stops for them, if you don't know that person well, don't be picked up. Because you know in your mind and you know that something like that can be dangerous. And you know the ramifications of these kinds of things. But you don't worry every day, is this going to happen to my child? You told them, you tell them what they can do and what they can't do, and then you go on with life. And you have to do the same thing when it comes to these issues as well. We're going to talk about them, how to deal with these issues, but at the same time, that you have to know that life will go on, and it should go on, feeling secure, and that you can be mechanech and have healthy, healthy children. So I say again, we do not want to alarm. These are things that happen infrequently, but they happen. And if they happen, we have to know how to protect. We have to know what to say to our children. I just would like to talk first, just shortly, about why is this so problematic? Why is abuse to a child, abuse to an adult? But our topic tonight is about children. Why is it so painful? Why does it cause so many problems? When you talk about abuse, you're talking about sexual abuse, you're talking about the most private parts of a person's body, and in his mind, or her mind, it's the same thing. These are my rishus hayochid. It's my personal domain. My personal domain. And when that has been violated, it's as if I have been violated. My essence has been violated. That's the way the normal, the human psyche works. I have been violated. I have been dirtied. While if I fell in the mud, I can take a shower and I can clean myself and I can get it off me. When it comes to something like that, the human mind doesn't work that way. My most private parts, which is me and my essence, have been violated. And it's difficult to overlook that, and it's difficult to forget that. Obviously, there are different degrees of abuse, some much more serious than others. And people, when You know, it's a very slight abuse. People are much more resilient, and there's a certain toughness to a person, which there should be. Living and knowing to live with difficulties and roughing life a little, but at the same time, things sometimes are much more serious, and each person's mind works differently. And one person might be resilient, and one person might be stronger, and one person might be tougher, and another person might be much more frail, and it causes just sometimes the most severe problems. What happens is the person who is abused loses their sense, their self-confidence about themselves, their good feeling about themselves, and all problems, so many problems start setting in their relationships with their friends, in their relationships with their peers, how they look at authority, how they act up, and then eventually in their married life, being afraid of the intimacy, being afraid of anything that comes close or smacks of something like that, and you know what kind of difficulty that causes. It wrecks homes, it wrecks marriages, and it eventually, sometimes, chas v'shalom, is the end of a person. Can be, in extreme cases. But it's serious. And we need to protect. I think anybody that is involved with children who are at risk know very well that so many of these children come from an abused background. And we have to try to do something about it. We must. Who are the victims? Young boys, young girls, teenagers, they're victims. They're taken advantage of. And because of the circumstances they evolved, didn't have the strength to say no. And they get themselves into trouble, to difficulties. Who are the perpetrators? Who are they? They can be, there are a wide range of colors and shapes and forms of these perpetrators. They come from all facets of life. They can be your brother, your uncle, your sister. They can be your brother's friend, your older brother's friends, and I can't tell you how often this happens. You look at your brother, his friend comes over, and they take advantage of the situations. It happens all the time. There are people of authority, people where others look at you. You look at the person with respect, and they have a certain power over you, be it a teacher, it can be a rebbe, it can be a counselor, it can be, they come in all shapes and forms, and they take advantage, and they can take advantage, and they do take advantage. So, what can we do? What can we do? To say, we won't let our children out of our sight, or the school won't let the children out of their sight, is a great, great mistake. It doesn't exist. It's an impossibility. And besides it being an impossibility, it's not the right thing to do. A child has to have a certain independence. A child has to have its own space. A teenager has to have their own space. You can't just say, we're going to be with them all the time. It's not a way to raise a child. It's not a way to be mechanech a child. The one thing I think that we have come to the conclusion of is that we have to educate the children. We must educate our children. Educate our children to know, to be told, and then for them to feel comfortable to say that somebody can't touch me or do something with me in a place that is my private place, that belongs to me and belongs to nobody else. We have to be able to tell our children that. I don't know why this is, but we have a situation today where parents are afraid to talk to their children about sensitive matters. And it's difficult sometimes. Parents are afraid to talk to their children about the facts of life. And they need to. They need to at a certain point of their maturity. Parents are afraid to talk to their children about marriage at the proper time. Just what a marriage should look like, how a husband should treat a wife and how a wife should treat a husband. We want our schools to do it, we want our mechanchim to do it, we want our counselors to do it. Abidas and ishtmir, as long as it's not me because it's too difficult. That is our obligation. We can't abdicate our role as parents. And there is nothing that's more important than that. And I want to say, I look back at my own upbringing, and I know this from many people. When parents talk to their children about sensitive matters, sometimes difficult matters, and the parent, the father, the mother paid attention to their child and had a serious discussion and a loving discussion and a warm discussion and a mature discussion, there creates such a wonderful bond between parent and child, and it's something that a child never forgets for the rest of his life. The warmth that it brings and the bond between parent and child and parent is something that I can't describe. Don't be afraid to talk to your children. It needs thought. Some things are more difficult. Some things are easier. But they might be sensitive. You have to think about it. Think about what you're going to say and talk. And don't be afraid to talk about sensitive matters. Don't abdicate your role as a parent. Don't let it be given to the school. I'm not saying that our schools don't do a good job. Our yeshivas and Beit Yaakovs. But this is a parent's role, and there's nobody that can do it better than a parent if it's done properly. A child has to know from his parent that there's nobody, other sometimes than a doctor, that has a right to your private parts. It can't be your cousin, it can't be your uncle or aunt or grandfather or grandmother. They happen. And it can't be anybody. It can't be your counselor. It can't be your Rebbe. It can't be your gym teacher. It can't be anybody. When a child hears something like that from their parent, it gives him or her such a sense of security. And if something then, chas v'sholom, did happen, a child has to feel comfortable to be able to talk to his parents or her parents, to tell them and not be afraid at what their reaction is going to be. Parents can lose themselves. Parents can get angry. Parents can start leveling accusations. And that doesn't help a child. A child has to know that their parent is going to be compassionate. Their parent is going to hear them. Their parent is going to take care of them. And they have a secure place with their parent. A home that is not full of warmth, a home that's not full of love for their children. You can be the most loyal parent to your child, and you can fiercely defend that child, but the child will be afraid to talk to their parent. It needs a certain avira, it needs an environment. The home needs a certain kind of an environment for a child to be comfortable and to feel comfortable to be able to talk to their parent. It needs a loving, warm, joyous, affectionate place to be. Then the child feels comfortable talking to their parent. Obviously, there are things besides building up that child and letting that child, giving it the inner strength to be able to tell somebody no, to say no to somebody, which needs strength. It needs a lot of strength, especially if it's a person who is a person of authority or somebody who's older than you. It needs inner strength. And it's there that parents can do and must give confidence to their child that the child is able to do that and can do that and should do that and must do that. Sometimes there are signs and symptoms of a child who has started being abused. And I'm certain that you're going to hear from Dr. Pelkowitz about that. But you have to have open eyes and an open mind. You have to be able to see sometimes how your child is acting or reacting. And there are some telltale signs of children that seem to be in the throes of some kind of abuse. Before I end, I just would like to end with something that about a year ago, the Rabbonim wrote a letter to the community. And we wrote a letter to the community about these issues. And I'm not sure why. I have to be very open and honest with you. I don't know why, but I've heard from people that to a certain degree, that letter sort of doubted and cast a certain kind of aspersion on our mechanchim. On our mechanchim. I'm not sure why people understood, or some people understood it that way. Nobody denies, and everybody knows that these things have happened with mechanchim as well. But I just want to say, just very openly, and with everything that I have in my heart, we have an enormous amount of kavod and hadrocha and respect for what our mechanchim do in this community. We have wonderful, wonderful mechanchim and mechanchos, rebbeim and moros, wonderful. And we have a lot of confidence in you. And we respect you. And I know that you're underappreciated and you're underpaid. But I would like, and I'm asking you, let our mechanchim right now and our mechanchos hear a word and a sign of appreciation from all of us that we appreciate what they're doing. wonderful community. And I'm only ending with a bracha that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should help, that all of you should have a lot of nachas from your children, your sons and daughters. They should be healthy. They should be well adjusted. They should bring a nachas ruach to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They should be the source of an enormous kvod shamayim. And let us protect our children. And let us protect our children.